Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in the space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the September 26th edition of Space Talk right here on WMMB. Well, and if it seems like you're hearing my voice a little earlier today than you have usually before on a Saturday, then, well, treat yourself to some ice cream, because you're absolutely correct. Beginning today and continuing on for what I hope are many weeks to come, Space Talk can now be heard at this new time of 2 p.m. along Florida's Space Coast. And, well, that means if you happen to be finding us for the first time today, well, this is a one-hour radio program dedicated to all things having to do with our nation's space program, whether it's rocket launches, mission operations, military activity in space, space education, space business, space-related entertainment. Well, I think you get the gist of what we're talking about on a program called Space Talk. You can follow news about this program via Twitter anytime by searching for Space Talking. We update regularly throughout the week, let you know what's going on with the program. If you go online to WMMBAM.com, you can hear this program streamed live on the Internet every Saturday now at 2 o'clock. You can download a podcast of a previous Space Talk program. Usually they're up on the Monday following the weekend. And by entering the keywords Space Talk on the main homepage of WMMB, you can go to our show webpage. There, learn a little bit more about me, learn a little bit more about the program, catch up on some links that we might have mentioned during the program, some web links, maybe updates on important activities in the space program, certainly important milestones during a shuttle mission. So that's all there on the Space Talk webpage show there. Again, WMMBAM.com, keywords Space Talk. And most importantly, Space Talk is brought to you by United Space Alliance, innovation you can trust and performance you can count on. And we sure do appreciate the friends and folks at United Space Alliance for being a sponsor of our program. Well, today we're going to focus on our state's space agency and talk with our good friend Frank DiBello, the now permanent president of Space Florida. He'll be joining us in a few moments. But before we get on to that topic, I'd like to spend a moment or two updating you on a couple of things. First of all, just want to mention for the record that it was great to see Space Shuttle Discovery return to Florida Space Coast this past week, riding on the back of the 747. Once again, the NASA pilots of that carrier aircraft put on a great show coming down and across and up the beach here, and just got a lot of comments from folks, a lot of sudden phone mail or emails ringing, instant messaging. I saw Facebook was alive, believe it or not, with people saying, hey, it just flew over my house. And so that's a lot of fun. With only six more missions to go with the shuttle program, the opportunities to see that incredible sight of a huge giant space shuttle orbiter on the back of a jumbo jet are going to become rarer and rarer. You know, all six of the shuttle missions are scheduled to land back at the Kennedy Space Center, and we certainly hope that's what happens. The likelihood of it landing at Edwards still possible, and so that opportunity to see that site still there. But again, if it happens again, I highly encourage you to just take those 5 minutes, figure out when it's coming in, tune in, listen in, whatever you got to do, and run outside and see that site, because it's really something amazing. Another amazing site we're going to see in our Space Coast skies, hopefully here within the next few weeks, is the launch of the new Ares 1X rocket. Now, let me get you up to speed a little bit on this. First of all, the Ares 1X is a test version of the Ares 1 launch vehicle that's been proposed and they're building to begin the process of returning us back to the moon and on to Mars. This is the rocket that has a solid rocket booster, a space shuttle solid rocket booster as its first stage, and a new upper stage built, liquid-fueled upper stage built, and then the Orion crew module on top. The rocket stands about 327 feet tall. Now, the shuttle is only 180 feet tall. The Saturn V was 363 feet tall. This rocket's 327 feet tall. So this is one big, long, skinny little pencil stick of a rocket that's going to be really something. And it is fully stacked. This rocket, this test rocket, is fully stacked inside the vehicle assembly building at the Kennedy Space Center. As the USA folks reported last week, it was powered up for the first time and going throughout its checkouts. This past week, in fact, at the Kennedy Space Center, they held another launch simulation. They ran the launch team through a simulation of the liftoff, and that went well. They threw all sorts of problems at them. The engineering team overcame them. There was an official dedication of that firing room to become the official new Ares 1 launch firing room for the Kennedy Space Center. So you still have the shuttle program going, and now you have this rocket. Looking ahead for what the plan is the news really was that NASA moved the launch date up for the Ares 1X. It had been scheduled for Halloween, October 31st, which I thought was a very neat little trick-or-treat to start the day out with. But they've moved it up to October 27th, up 4 days. And they've got the date on the range. The scheduling all looks good for that. And so that's now the big day. That is the day to mark on your calendars as an exciting, historic time. Now, this rocket will roll out to the launch pad 39B, on October 19th. So, again, that's the day where we're going to see for the first time since 1981, since 1979, was it, I guess, when the first Enterprise came out? Since the first space shuttle came out to the pad, this is the first time we're going to see a brand-new rocket out at the pad at Kennedy Space Center. And, again, let me underscore this, that, you know, this rocket is a test rocket. They're basically testing the first stage of the rocket, the solid rocket booster portion. There's a lot of instrumentation, a lot of sensors, a lot of engineering data that they want to learn from flying this rocket. It's pretty much a guarantee that it's going to fly at this point. All indications are that it is, despite consternation about what's going to happen to Constellation, what might happen in the future with the Constellation program. They're still planning to fly this Ares 1X test flight, and I think they need to. And again, let's talk about the history of this. At the Kennedy Space Center, there have only been three other types of rockets ever launched from Launch Complex 39. You had the Saturn V, that first flight back in 1967. Then in 1973, they launched the Saturn 1B rocket off of Pad 39B. In 81, the first actual launch of a space shuttle debuted, Columbia, in April of 81. And since then, it's just been the space shuttle. Sure, we've seen different orbiters by name go through the launch sites, but in terms of a brand-new designed rocket, this Ares 1X will be the big premiere. And again, rolling out on October 19th. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the future of the Ares launch vehicles or the entire Constellation program, but I do know, and let me just say it here, I want this Ares 1X rocket to fly. It's the right thing to do. Now, critics say the design isn't close enough to the final design to provide any really valid engineering data. People say that it's a waste of taxpayer dollars, that the program's going to get canceled anyway, so why bother? But I totally disagree. You know, we need to do this launch. This team has learned a lot already about stacking the rocket, dealing with ground facilities and challenges and putting that all together. The fire room is all set to go, but there'll be no greater example of wasting our taxpayer dollar than if this test flight were not allowed to go. And so I'm convinced it will. They're working their way toward making that happen, and I believe it will happen. So let's keep an eye on the schedule. Let's keep an eye on the news here. And again, we're going to see some incredibly cool sights and pictures coming out of this mission, and we're going to have a lot of interesting photos to post on our WMMB Space Talk website in the weeks to come. Well, we're going to pause here for just a moment, and when we return, we're going to be joined by Frank DiBello of Space Florida, who's going to come and talk about some activities in the space program that the state of Florida is involved with and ways to bring more jobs and people here and more business, and all that's coming up in just a moment. This is Space Talk on WMMB. I'm Jim Banky, and we're sponsored by United Space Alliance. Back in just a moment.
This is Space Talk with Jim Banky.
how long can we let that music go? That's good stuff. Well, this is Space Talk. I am Jim Banky. Welcome back to our first effort to do this at a 2 o'clock hour on a Saturday afternoon. Space Talk, by the way, brought to you by United Space Alliance right here on WMMB. And again, our new time for Space Talk, Saturdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Well, look, when this show premiered earlier this year, our first guest was Frank DiBello, who then was the interim president of Space Florida. But on this first day of Space Talk at its new 2 o'clock time, I'm honored to reintroduce to you our first guest, who's now making his second appearance on the show. By the way, Frank, the first Space Talk guest to make it twice. So that'll be the Jeopardy trivia question sometime in the future. But now, this time, the permanent president of our state's space agency, Space Florida, Frank DiBello. Welcome back to Space Talk.
Jim, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Well,
by the way, congratulations on what I consider to be a very successful program.
Well, thank you very much, and we've enjoyed the support of you, your staff, and everyone in the space community. It's really going well. And it's good to talk to you from what is now your office. Is it time to put your pictures up on the wall?
At least for a while. I'm here in the office, and I expect to be here for a good while, and certainly committed to what we have to do in the months and near-term years ahead to bring considerable growth in the space industry in the state.
Well, and I think what has happened here in the last couple of weeks with the selection and all that is kind of old news, but I do want to ask you about, you know, your role as interim president. You know, give us a sense of what you could do and couldn't do, or maybe the question to ask is, now that you're the permanent president, you know, what's the first thing out the door that you can do that you've been kind of waiting, you know, until you had the reins firmly in hand?
Well, I don't know that there's anything significant. I came into the job as interim with the clear message that I was going to treat the job as though I were permanent, and that's the way I approached the role. I started immediately a strategic vision exercise internal to the staff, and it was very much designed to define for certainly our board, but for legislators and for the people of the state, what we're trying to achieve for the benefit of the people of the state with respect to the growth of the space industry out to the year 2020. And we're clearly characterizing that vision in terms of jobs and health and robustness of the industry out in that 2020 year. In the context of doing that, we identified 10 what I call market horizon clusters or constellations. And that's a term to avoid use of the word cluster, but
right.
These are sectors where we have a really definitive plan for how we're going to grow those sectors in the state and do two things. It's number one, diversify the industry in the state.
Right.
And number two, and this is key, develop them in concert with other state partners who are involved in economic development activities. And they cover a broad section of industry applications that are important to the economic well-being of the state. Groups like civil protection and emergency response, sectors like agriculture, climate and environmental monitoring, our traditional role in ground support and operations, a growing capability in support manufacturing, support of both large and small satellites, but especially in the small satellite arena, mm-hmm. and then the traditional services industry, and that's only a few of the 10 that are out there. So during the interim period, Jim, we've been very aggressively also working on trying to create new job opportunities. So our business development activities have been very, very targeted and very, very focused on near-term jobs capture.
With these various clusters, Frank, these constellations, are you finding that are they all clearly space related? You mentioned agriculture, for example, is one of them, and I'm thinking, well, there's space data available to support the agricultural industry, and I know even something as simple as tractors with GPS on them certainly is something that's out there. But how are you, you know, I guess we're looking at how do you take a worker here at the Kennedy Space Center, whether he's an engineer or a technician or something, and find a new role for them in some of that kind of those kind of industries?
Well, I want to be careful to separate problems, but one of the things that we are clearly trying to do is display the pervasive presence of space throughout the state, and it's an industry that is pervasive in our everyday lives and clearly mm-hmm. applies to all of the citizens of the state.
Right.
And many of the ways in which it applies are in those sectors that I identified. But we're also very mindful of the fact that what we're using to attract industry here in any area are a lot of the resource areas that we have, like our infrastructure, mm-hmm. certainly infrastructure at the Cape, but in other places as well. Our assets like in the workforce, our R&D investments, and we have some very unique capabilities that we can apply to these other sectors. Clean energy is a good example. There are at least 5 projects that we're working on that are in various forms of clean energy, and we have connected every one of those to workforce and infrastructure assets mm-hmm. at the Cape. And those early demonstration projects and other clean energy applications will grow into significant jobs potential, and they do represent a direct transfer of capabilities of the workforce to those areas.
Yeah.
They also benefit the state across the board. So it's a perfect example of the kind of thing that we're targeting on. Another is the work that we're doing to pursue a lead role for Florida in development of Florida as a ground node for support of the International Space Station as a national lab.
Right. And that gets, I assume partly that gets into the biotech stuff, which you've already been very successful in working and getting some experiments on board the space station.
Well, it's biotech, but it's also all of the science and technology areas that can be advanced using this station or using suborbital research capabilities to advance our knowledge of human life sciences, our knowledge of food production and agricultural work, even looking back at Earth mm-hmm. And doing some of those other areas that I was talking about, like climate and environmental monitoring. And we see a lot of capabilities in the state, not just near the Cape, but across the state, that can be brought to bear and coalesced to support a strong Florida role in the operation and management of the ISS. At the National Lab.
And one of the themes that you've used the phrase again, across Florida and not just the Cape, several times, and I'm glad to hear you say that. We've all been preaching that. Do you think that message is sinking in to the rest of the state, that at least in terms of support for Space Florida financially in the legislature and within the industry and the various other partners that are out there, that they understand now, they're beginning to see the light, that we're not just trying to get launches here, we're trying, you know, and grow Brevard County. This is about increasing the overall activity in space for Florida across the state.
Well, I think that they are. I certainly know that they will. As we finish this vision document, the intent is to be able to articulate in a clear way to our legislators in Tallahassee and to the citizens in the statewide what the space industry is in the state. That means giving it a good baseline definition in all of these sectors that I'm talking about, and then showing some clear-cut targets for growth out to the year 2020. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is not only show that we are growing this industry in the statewide, but that we're bringing benefits of investments that we make in state and space back to the people of the state, and we do that in those sectors, clean energy, civil protection, emergency response, agriculture, climate and environmental monitoring, and a whole host of other applications areas. It's people who are using space to make money, mm-hmm. And then it's applied to make their everyday lives better, whether it's somebody tracking Florida's cattle or more effectively tackling the problems that our citrus industry has.
Well, Frank, that sounds like good stuff with the constellation clusters and all that. I think it's interesting. I want to talk a little bit more when we come back from a break we're about to take about more about Space Florida and how you organize. But give me a quick couple of seconds here. How does it feel to be sitting in the job now? You're the president. You're the man.
Well, I clearly am very energized being here, and I have a clear sense of direction about what we need to do. But I'm also mindful of the fact that this is not about any one individual or even one organization. The key to our future is in the partnership with a lot of the other organizations that care very much about the growth of this industry in the state. And we are clearly organizing to do that, to build those partnerships to the betterment of the growth of the industry.
Well, and I think you've seen it, you know, and again, I'll say it from the reaction this past week as events unfolded, the tremendous amount of respect and admiration that you have within our space community, not only locally, statewide, but even nationally. And I'll just say this, Frank, you don't need to say anything, but Frank DiBello is the man and is the guy we need in charge of this agency, and we're going to hear more from him. After we take a break here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get caught up on news, weather, and sports. Do you think we'll hear something about the Vikings and the 49ers playing on Sunday? I doubt it. You only hear that from me, but that's okay. That's enough. That's all you need to hear. But we'll be back with more with Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance, right here on WMMB. Don't forget to follow us on the WMMBAM.com page at keyword Space Talk, and follow us on Twitter by logging on to Space Talking at Twitter. You stay up to date with everything going on here right at Space Talk here on WMMB. We'll be back after these brief messages.
Houston Endeavor, roll program.
Roger, roll, Endeavor.
Now is the time for shuttle program employees to chart a new course.
OTCFO.
A course that will take their careers beyond the last space shuttle mission to new job opportunities and horizons.
Fine, let's go.
Brevard Workforce is helping our community shuttle engineers, technicians, and administrative workers to launch new careers through the Aerospace Workforce Transition Program.
Houston Flight is go.
While they continue to safely launch the remaining shuttle missions. Through the programs, resources, and services, aerospace workers can map out a strategy, undergo skill assessments, take workshops, update degrees and certifications, or receive education funding. Assistance is available and ready.
PTC, go.
Contact Brevard Workforce today and take the first easy step to prepare for a successful post-shuttle career in aerospace or other industries.
The launch team is ready to proceed.
Call Brevard Workforce at 394-0556. That's 394-0556. Visit them online at launchnewcareers.com or Twitter them at Launch Careers.
You are go for launch.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Banky.
Well, and good afternoon, everyone. Again, welcome back to Space Talk right here on WMMB. Now being heard at a new time during the 2 o'clock hour on Saturdays here. If you're joining us for the first time, tuning in on the dial, wondering what this is all about, this is a program dedicated to all things related to the space program. We've been on for several weeks now and have now moved to the 2 o'clock hour on Saturdays following the Kim Komando show, and happy to do that. And today we're talking about the state of Florida and its space program, specifically about the organization called Space Florida that was formed to basically take the reins of our space program in the state and do what it's got to do in a variety of areas. The permanent president, newly selected and approved and blessed with holy water, President Frank DiBello, is joining us from his offices at the Kennedy Space Center. And Frank, welcome back. Glad to have you here again today.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here.
Good. Well, let's talk about some stuff. And again, because I think we may have some new listeners and some new folks tuning in, and certainly around the nation, that I would like them to have a little better understanding of what Space Florida is all about. This might be old hat to some folks, but generally when the organization was created, it combined some different organizations that were responsible for some various different areas of space activity in the state. One had to do with economic development and kind of the whole launch operations thing going on here. Another one had to do with research and experiments and education. Another one had to do with financing aerospace activities in the state to help folks come here and do their business here. As you talked a little bit ago about these clusters and these different areas for part of your new strategic vision, Are all of these kind of areas covered? Is that your new way of organizing these things, or are you still kind of touching base on these other primary areas that, that the organization was formed for?
Well, the target markets that I've identified earlier as clusters or constellations are clearly the marketplace that we're facing. And the organization is first an extension of the Office of the Governor. It is a special purpose entity as well, with municipalization capabilities and a whole range of support and financing capabilities, authorities that enable it to function in an economic development role. And it's also corporate-like in structure.
Mm-hmm.
Its purpose is to grow the space industry in the state. And the tools that we use to do that are those very elements that you mentioned that were in the predecessor organizations.
Mm-hmm.
It's R&D, it's infrastructure, including spaceports, it's education, it's growing workforce, and it's creation of a business-friendly environment and using that business-friendly environment to cause growth in the three marketplaces that we face, mm-hmm. which are the defense sector of each of those constellations, the civil marketplace or sector in each of those constellations, and then the commercial activity that we expect to go on. So clearly we are still doing very much what we were doing before, but we're much more aggressive and focused in facing the markets that are the will be the contributors to the innovation economy that we're trying to grow for the state in the year 2020.
And I love the concept innovation economy, because certainly Florida is known for its innovative activities in so many different areas. We know about space. We touched very lightly on biotech. You've talked about some of the other clusters. I know simulation and modeling is a big deal in the state, the whole high-tech
Absolutely.
Corridor. All that stuff going on, and you think, and I think a lot of people agree with you, that again, there is a reach there. There is an opportunity there to have space play a part in all of these different areas.
And for us to grow capabilities that enhance growth of the industry statewide, there is already activity in many of those constellations. We've simply never given real visibility to it. I can take the launch industry as an example, and the emergence of a strong Florida space small satellite industry. We are actively engaged with our Air Force partnership. We're facing the defense marketplace. We're building a partnership with the Air Force to grow a capability to launch a new family of launch vehicles here that represent the smaller end of the array of launch vehicles available in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The target markets for that are clearly support of DOD with their operationally responsive space requirements, but they can also be used for launch of military satellite and other communications satellites to low Earth orbit. They can also be used to support orbital and suborbital research platforms allow us to advance capabilities, whether it be in biolife sciences or in support of the civil exploration program, no matter how that shapes to be. But these are capabilities which enable growth in many, many other markets. We care about the launch industry very much, but we also care as much about the people that are riding on those platforms, whether they're taking off vertically or horizontally, who will use some attribute of space to make money or advance our capabilities statewide.
And let's focus a little bit on the launch operations side again. Now, there was this idea of a commercial launch zone, idea of the state of Florida having its own launch pad. I don't know where all that kind of sits right now with all the transitions that have been going on. What's your take? What's your thoughts on the state of Florida's role in being the host to a launcher?
Well, I think that Florida has a lot to offer, and this is one thing. We have an advantage in geography and heritage and a huge existing investment in infrastructure and workforce who understand the launch industry and can support both new launch companies our existing array of launch companies that are here, new entrants to the marketplace, but more importantly also the people that will want to build and launch payloads from here. And there is a lot of gold for us in growing the supply chain in the state for people that want to manufacture and assemble satellites or the payloads that will ride, people that will want to go back and forth to space station, support the cargo transfer back and forth to station. And I can only comment that that supply chain can be made very robust and bring a real efficiency to many of those companies in their operations if they are located close to the point of launch.
And
so we are really going to be focused on that.
Let's talk about one of our old favorite topics is space tourism and the horizontal launch, the suborbital rides, point to point, coming back home here, coming back maybe to Cecil Field, to who knows where else. What's the latest and greatest on that concept?
Well, we still intend to help any community that wants to develop a spaceport capability in the state, because I truly believe the more activity that we get in space, the better it will be for all of us, and as the sea rises, we'll all rise with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to comment, the commercial tourism industry, the commercial space flight industry, will grow at its own pace. We need to make sure that we're ready and we're facing the market. For all of those companies that are entering into it, they may be testing their concepts in some other places, but they really do want to come here eventually, because this is where the market is, this is where the cachet is for many of the people who want to ride, and their target customers are simply here. We can do a lot of things to help assemble those customers into units that make it easy for them to do business in with. Another market, though, that's related that I want to call attention to is the fact that these platforms, these horizontal takeoff and landing spacecraft, can be used to launch suborbital science payloads using a small rocket launched from a single rail under the belly line of the spacecraft or on the wing.
Sure.
And the kind of experiments that can be conducted, you can get some very quality short bursts of microgravity time using those capabilities, which can cause our science community to have precursor science initiatives prior to going up to International Space Station or using longer duration platforms once they're up there.
That
and I think that really represents a significant growth potential for Florida.
Do we have any artwork of that yet, of a satellite dropping off the wing of a rocket and shooting up into space?
Well, I don't have artwork, but I know there are examples where it has been done, and I believe that it is going to be in a very attractive alternative and much lower cost alternative for many of our state and national and even global researchers.
Yeah. And I want to also underscore, too, using a little bit different words about how folks want to come here. Yes, they're testing their rockets in other states and people getting all in a you know, all wound up about that. You know, oh, we've lost the lead or we've lost the business. And, you know, no, you know, Orbital and Wilbur figured out how to fly, you know, on the coast, and then, you know, Chicago, O'Hare, and Atlanta are the big airports. You know, I mean, there's going to be room for everyone to benefit from all of this. And frankly, if you're going to spend 2 weeks on getting ready for a space flight as a tourist, wouldn't you rather do it here with the cruise lines and with Disney and Universal and the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex to play around in as you're getting ready to fly? There's no doubt this is the place to come for space.
Well, that's exactly what I was referring to when I said the cachet and all of the other attributes that make Florida the place to do business from when you're looking at this commercial tourism industry.
Well, Frank, we're going to take one more break here. Can you stick around with us for just a couple more minutes?
I'd be happy to.
Great. Well, when we come back with this, I want to ask Frank DiBello, the president of Space Florida, about some things going on at NASA and the future of what may impact NASA shuttle operations, Kennedy Space Center, and how it might affect us here in Florida. But for now, this is Jim Bankey on Space Talk WMMB. We'll be back in just a moment.
If it's happening in space, Jim Behnke is there. Okay, well, not in space, but he's all about it. This is Space Talk on WMMB.
Well, and Jim Behnke is firmly entrenched in the studio here on Florida Space Coast, bringing you this edition of Space Talk for September 26th. Actually, the first time we're on at the 2 o'clock hour. Again, new to the 2 o'clock hour. We've been around for a few weeks at the 4 o'clock hour. We're happy to move up now and follow the Kim Komando Show. Again, if you're tuning in for the first time and wondering what we're all about, this is a program called Space Talk. And as you can imagine, here on the Space Coast, near the Kennedy Space Center and Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, we're all about talking about the space program. And with us today for this final segment is Frank DiBello, the president of Space Florida, who is now officially our state's highest-ranking space official in terms of the state of Florida. And we're pleased to have him with us. And, Frank, thanks for sticking around with us for one more segment.
Happy to do it, Jim.
Good. Well, let's get into this. We only have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you about the Space Shuttle program and NASA and Constellation and Ares and all of that from the perspective of that the Augustine panel, this presidential panel, was put together and presented some options for the president to consider about the future direction of NASA. Some of these options look good. Some of these options look grim. It seems like all of these options require a lot of money. I know it's not your job to decide what NASA's going to do, but as you watch what's happening, what are you thinking about in terms of its impact on Florida and how the state of Florida and Space Florida might have to react to whatever decisions are made?
Well, I know that the alternatives that are presented at this stage appear to cause worry for Floridians relative to the current legacy programs. But there is a future out there, and yes, it's going to be defined by the White House. And we've had a lot of discussions with people in the White House and OMB and NASA headquarters about the template that they're going to be using to define the nation's future in exploration. In the near term, whether they retire shuttle or not, clearly the quickest way to eliminate the gap is to keep shuttle flying, and we're very supportive of that if they were to do it. Mm-hmm. If they choose an alternative path, because there are budget constraints out there, we're well positioned to play a key role in support of whatever the many elements that are there. As an example, we hope that there will be a significant contribution by the Obama administration and in turn OMB and NASA to a robust exploration program that takes man beyond Earth, well beyond Earth, and helps us develop the science and technologies necessary to explore distant locations, but do that in a relatively efficient time frame. I'm not talking 2030. I'm talking in a much shorter time frame. Mm-hmm. That means that there's a budget commitment and initiatives underway, and we expect Florida to play a key role in those initiatives, which will be good toward advancing our capabilities in human spaceflight.
And I know there's always concern about the workforce at the Kennedy Space Center and the shuttle workforce, and there's some jobs there and some people's lives at stake, and so I don't want to downplay that and whatever, but whatever does happen, it just seems like from a national perspective, the space program might be heading in an interesting direction that, again, I think the state of Florida can take advantage of, and I know you know this as well as I, but, you know, whatever we're talking about and what you just talked about, the opportunities, you know, we've got some tremendous schools here, Florida Tech, Embry-Riddle, the state school system. We've got some tremendous high-tech industries. You've got commercial folks interested in the Cape. You've got SpaceX and Falcon 9 ready to fly from the Cape and others interested. It just seems like the overall future is still bright, even though it might look a little grim in one particular pocket.
Well, there's no question. I think that we will continue to play an important role in the myriad of space activities. It'll be commercial crew and commercial cargo launch back and forth to the station. It'll be in helping people who go to the station prepare science and technology experiments and build the payloads that go back and forth, and that's also an industry I expect Florida to play a key role in. We will continue to play strong launch roles for both DOD and other civil agencies that are flying payloads. I think that we can maintain and grow a role in various applications supportive of the exploration program. Florida has a strong capability in ground support operations, and whatever we are flying in support of the exploration mission, I think Florida will be well prepared to continue. There is no silver bullet for the retirement of the shuttle or the replacement of the jobs that might be lost there.
Mm-hmm.
But our solution has to be to reach out for a myriad of smaller initiatives that are targeted to represent tomorrow's industries in those constellations that I mentioned, and in support of both the defense and civil, the National Space Program, that can utilize the workforce that we have. And we're also applying a lot of training and workforce dollars to helping transition much of that workforce to some of these new jobs in these emerging constellations.
That sounds great. Now, let me wrap up with this question with you and just touch on the political side of the House, you know, which is an unfortunate reality in doing your business. You got to attract all this business, and yet you got to go to Tallahassee and get your money every year to go be able to do it. You know, what is your sense of what that political landscape is like right now for Space Florida? You know, has the tide turned? Are we going to see some positive things in the next session, or are there still some serious budget challenges up there?
Well, there are clearly budget challenges because the state as a whole is faced with a tight economic profile, as every state is. But I also would suggest that there's probably never been a better environment in Tallahassee with respect to a recognition that this is a critical component in the state's overall economic profile. The space sector is a significant contributor to the state's economic well-being, and I think there is more of a uniformity and unanimity of opinion that they need to continue to invest in this industry for the long-range well-being of the state. I think that we can take advantage of the fact that that turmoil that you mentioned is well past us, and that we are moving out with a very positive message that we can deliver in Tallahassee and point the way toward a vision for 2020.
Well, Frank, I'm looking forward to seeing that final report on that vision and seeing all these constellations detailed and just to hear the whole plan laid out. You're giving us pieces of it. It's very exciting. And I think, you know, and again, I'll just say it to you publicly, you're the right man in the right place for the right job. And this is going to be a very exciting time for Space Florida. And we're so glad you're on the show today to help us explain what you're up to. And I know you will be in touch and hear from some of your other folks as things move along.
Jim, I'm happy to come back anytime as well and address the subject. It's one near and dear to my heart. And I love and am challenged by the job that we've got and we all have together.
Good. We'll start putting those nails in your office and put the pictures up because it's your office to stay for some time to come.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Good. Thanks, Frank, for being with us. And again, thank you all for listening in on this edition of Space Talk on WMMB. We'll have more for you next week, Saturday at 2:00. Don't forget. Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll see you soon.